Thank you for listening to our podcast. We trust it inspires and encourages you to honor God and make disciples. For more audio messages like these and other resources, please visit victorymetroeast.org.
So now let's go back, let's go to our series. Okay, yung pong series natin is Who Cares? Last week we talked about that He cares. The very reason why we can care for people is because, of course, na-receive natin yung compassion ni Lord. Nakita po natin that the Lord Jesus is full of compassion to people. That is why when Pastor Dan was talking about that last week, did you appreciate this message last week? Yes. I know you do. Lalo na si Dan, appreciate talaga niya yun. No, I really do. You know, kasi pinakita niya talaga that the Lord is a compassionate God. That whenever He sees a need, okay, He does not just feel sorry for them. Diba ganun si God eh? Hindi ka lang nagiging sorry, but He was moved into action. That is why when He saw the crowd, He had compassion on them. And He did something. He healed them. He preached the gospel to them. That is what God is doing because He's a compassionate God. Okay? That is why in the last verse of that, okay, yung end note is 9:37 and 38. And then Jesus said to His disciples, okay, upon telling them, upon showing them how to do it, okay, what He is doing and how compassionate He is for the lost, etong sinabi niya sa kanila, then He said to His disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There are so many things that needs to be done, Jesus is saying to His people, to His disciples, and He's saying, okay, pray, therefore, earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. What basically Jesus is saying to His people, to His disciples, is now I've shown you how to do it. Now I've shown you how to minister and how to have compassion for people. I want you to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers to do the same. Because the heart of God is full of compassion. And that is the very reason why He sent His Son for us. Because His heart is filled with compassion. Let me share with you what Tim Keller said. Okay, so from the ancient times, the God of the Bible stood out from the gods of all other religion or religions as a God on the side of the powerless and of justice for the poor. You know, that's the amazing thing about our God. The amazing thing about our God, He's always on the side of the poor. He's always on the side of the defenseless. He's always on the side of the widow. He's always on the side of the aliens. He's always on the side of the strangers. He's always on the side of the fatherless. And when I say He's on their side, He's always defending them. He's always taking care of them. And that is the big difference with the God that we serve from any other gods. Let me read to you Psalm 146 from the Old Testament. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. That's what God does from the Old Testament. Ganyan ang ginagawa ni Lord. The Lord gives sight to the blind. Okay, Jesus did that. The Lord lifts those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the aliens. How many aliens do we have here? I mean, foreigners. Okay, that's another term. I know my friend here, Daryl, is here. Okay, bro, God is taking care of you. Okay, He's watching over you. Watches over the aliens or the foreigners and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But He frustrates the ways of the wicked. God is always on the side of the weak. God is always on the side of the poor, the widow, the fatherless, the alien, the strangers. That is why pagka binasa niyo po yung Old Testament, ang daming laws pertaining to these people. All, God always have a law for them to make sure that they are taken care of. Ay, hindi ko po alam kung napanood niyo po yung Divergent. Okay? Alam niyo po yung Divergent? Yung latest movie, no? Nung parang Hunger Games style, no? Kung si God nandun pa sa Divergent, okay, God will always be with the factionless. People who are not accepted people who does not belong to any group. Okay, God is always on their side. That's the God that we serve. And I just hope that we will learn this today. Okay, because this is what God is saying to us. Yes, this is who He is. But the thing that He's asking us to do is to translate what He can do in people's lives. And we have to do it, and He has to do it through us. That is why our title for this topic today is We Care. Now that we understand that He cares, now it's our turn to show the world that we care. Let's all stand up as we read God's Word today. We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Isn't that amazing? This is God talking to a group of people, okay? And saying to them that God has already prepared something for you. Why? "For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invited you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" Then the king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I ask that your Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us as we study your word today. I pray, God, that you will show us your heart, that we will be able to feel what you feel, and so that we will be moved as you were moved into action when you see the people harassed, helpless, and without a shepherd. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You may now take your seats. You know what's so interesting about this chapter 25 is the context of chapter 25 is the end times. Okay, when you actually read chapter 25, the entire chapter, actually it's a twin chapter. Chapter 24 and chapter 25 all talks about the end times. And it's interesting because when Jesus left, sabi niya sa atin, "Go and make disciples in all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you to the ends of the earth." Okay? But at the same time, he also gave us this instruction that we should take care of the poor, that we should also take care of the needy, that we should be loving to people, that we should be compassionate, that he was compassionate to us. As we have received and experienced his compassion, we should be compassionate to other people in the same manner. Okay, and Jesus here is talking about that chapter 25 at the end times. Of all places, he was talking about, okay, you know what? People will be divided. People, just like the movie Divergent, there will be a time where you will be, you know, in Divergent, they say you will have to choose which part you will go. But this time, the Lord will be the one to choose who will go on his side and who will not be on his side. And this is the end of this is the end times. And he's talking about, you know what, you will all be judged. Every one of us will stand at the judgment seat of God, and we will be, you know, rewarded in accordance to what we have done. Not just what we have done for anyone, but what we have done for the poor and the needy. Now, this is not to say that, you know, we will do something so that we will gain salvation. No. That is not what Jesus is talking about. He's already talking to people who are believers, okay, when he was saying this. That he was saying that giving and doing little things and acts of kindness is not a ticket so that you can gain salvation, but rather an indication that you have understood the gospel. Let me say that again. Doing kindness is not a ticket so that you will get yourself salvation, but rather an indication that you have understood the gospel and that you are already saved. Because Jesus, if you will read Matthew, you will see that every time Jesus would bring his disciples with him, showing them what to do, invited them to preach the gospel to the people and bring healing to them. Fed 5,000, fed 4,000. Because he wanted to understand that this is who he is. We care. Pakisabi mo, katabi mo. Say mo, we care. Sa kabila, sabi mo, sigurado ka ba? Here's another quotation. The scripture says so much about feelings. We read that the Lord often was moved to compassion as he encountered human need. He felt deep, caring emotions. Diba? Ganun yun eh. Like yung sinabi ni Pastor Nan last week, let me just review this, no? Yung sinabi niya yung Greek word compassion. Ayan, no? It's plagni zomai. You know, hindi po shomai, no? Pero, yan po yung sinasabi niya, it is moved to one's bowel. Kaya nga po sabi ni Pastor Wins nung kanina, di ba nung araw, pag sinasabi daw natin, you know, yung pag-ibig ko sa iyo, nagmumula sa ibutura ng aking puso, di ba? Pero actually, pagka daw yan ang sinabi mo, yung pag-ibig ko sa iyo, nanggagaling sa ibutura ng aking atay. Okay? Ng bituka, gano'n. But really, that's what it is. Okay, you remember do you remember yung illustration ni Pastor Nan? You remember that roller coaster? Yung sa Taiwan? Okay, yung pagkain nasa taas ng ganun putol, tapos magaganyan, tapos nakaganun ka, oh. You know, can you imagine the feeling sa stomach mo? Isipin mo nga lang yun, minsan bumabaligtad na yung sigmura mo eh, without even part of it. And that's exactly what this verse is talking about. What is exactly what compassion is all about. But Jesus, like what Pastor Dan again said last week, compassion is not an emotion, but an action. Compassion is not just an emotion, but an action. Jesus was always moved into action. That is why Jesus said this to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. As you go, preach, saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. Because Jesus has already given us this. Because we've already received the forgiveness of Christ. We've already received the compassion of Christ. We've already received, you know, being raised from the dead. Not literally, but spiritually. Because we were all dead in our trespasses, in our sin. And yet Jesus raised us up. Here's another thing. You know, Job. Interesting. Job chapter 31. If you will read Job chapter 31, this is a drama, okay? What happened to the life of Job, he was being persecuted by his friends because he was suffering. You remember the story? And he had boils all over the place. And his friends were discussing things with him. And then he was talking to God and saying, God, you know, I have done a lot of things for people. You know, when I see people in need, I help them. When I see people defenseless, I defend them. And this is what Job said. And verse 4 is, I mean, if I don't do these things, if I will not help the defenseless, if I will not take care of the widow and the fatherless, etong sabi niya, then let my arm fall from the shoulder. Let it be broken off at the joint. I mean, he takes this seriously. He takes compassion seriously. Job takes that seriously. That we are an extension of God to people. You know, Mother Teresa said this once, that whenever she walks around places in India, when she sees kids broken and needing something, ang nakikita niya hindi yung mga bata. Nakikita niya si Jesus. Nakikita niya si Jesus. Because sinasabi niya that I need to extend compassion to these people. How about in the Philippines? You know, according to Ibon Foundation, 80% of Filipinos consider themselves as poor. Ano po ba yun? 80% po ng Pilipino. Kinukonsider natin tayo mga Pilipino. 80% poor. While 53% of our country's population is below 25 years old. Napakabata po ng ating bansa. No? But again, this is just the need in the nation. But what do we do about this? What are we doing in line with what we read? In line with what Jesus is telling us? What do we do with the situation? Hopefully we could learn a few things today. Okay? What can we learn from this passage about caring for the poor and the needy? Number one. Are you ready? Chapter 25. Jesus identifies with them. Jesus identifies with the poor and the needy. Like what I said earlier, like what Tim Keller said, he's the only God that identifies with them. He's the only God that always identifies with the needy, with the poor, with the prisoners, with the sick, with the aliens. Ganun si Jesus. Kaya itong sabi ng verse 35. It says, "For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in." Simple lang sinasabi ni Jesus. "I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Jesus clearly speaks of his identification with people in need. His heart is always for them. From the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, to the life of Jesus, and even after Jesus left, it's always been that way. When Paul and Barnabas, okay, in chapter 15 of Acts, were being asked by the apostles in this Jerusalem council, they were asking, you know, they were being told, not why are they preaching the gospel to the Gentiles? And there was this big issue that they were trying to battle. And then the apostles, the council said, "You can do whatever you're doing. You can do and continue to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. You can do whatever it is that God has called you to do. But there is only one thing you should not forget." You know what he said? "Remember the poor. Remember the poor." Yes, preach the gospel to people. Yes, preach the gospel to every tribe, nation, and tongue. But remember the poor. Because the poor have a heart, you know, have a close, a soft, merong soft spot si Jesus sa heart niya for the poor and the needy. He knows that the defenseless and the helpless, kailangan siya. He identifies with them. Number two, Jesus commends the acts of kindness for the poor and the needy. Jesus commend them. Okay, how do we know that? Well, again, like what he said in the text. Okay, sabi niya, "You know, I was hungry. You gave me something to eat." And let's look at this verse. The disciples were asking, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? And without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And I cannot help being an old person. Again, why am I saying that? Okay. Because I don't know if some of you knows one of my favorite singer is Keith Green. Keith Green is a contemporary singer during our time. Okay. Now he's dead. Okay. He died in an air plane crash. But there was this one song that he really, I really love. He's the song about the separation of the sheep and the goat. It's actually taken from this text. Okay, the separation of the sheep and the goat at Judgment Day. And they were saying to God this thing. They were asking God, "God, when did we see you? You know, when did we see you naked? And we clothed you." And then sabi dun sa song niya, "We didn't even know your size, Lord. We didn't even know what size you wear. Okay, when did we see you hungry?" You know the thing, when you look at this, God is not asking for anything beyond our ability. I mean, it's not so hard, okay, to see hungry and give them something to eat. Is that too difficult to do? You know, when someone is asking for food, hindi naman siguro sila maghihingi ng, hindi mo naman siguro kailangan, dali mo sila sa Vikings. Di ba? Ang social naman niya, di ba? Or, nakita mo, may walang damit, di ba? Nangihingi ng damit. Hindi naman siguro maghingi ng Forever 21 yun. Baka naman, you know, simple lang eh. Di ba? Yun inihingi ni Jesus, or maybe nakita, may nakita ng nauuhaw, hindi naman siguro maghingi ng frappuccino yun, di ba? Ang social naman nun. This thing is Jesus is asking us to do something that is so simple that any one of us can do. Hello? Ano ba sabi? You know, and when did we see you a stranger? You know, the amazing thing about the people of God, this is the amazing thing about the people of God. God, because they know that they've been a stranger. They know they've been an alien. They know how it is and how it feels to be a stranger and not be welcomed. More than 300 years. I mean, 400 years being slaves in Egypt. And then with other nations that, you know, that overpowered them. And now, when this letter was written, they were still under the power of Rome. So they understand that. And let me just give you, my own personal experience on that, being a stranger. The first time I went to the U.S. in 1994, Okay? 1994, the people that were supposed to pick me up at the airport did not show up. So I was in Washington, okay, at the airport, waiting for my sundo. Nobody showed up. I was a stranger in this country. You know, that was my first time, 1994. Hindi ko na alam ilang taon na ako noon. Mahirap pag mathematics eh. Basta 1994, and then I tried to call people. Okay, I didn't know. Sabi ko, Lord, what will I do? I don't know anybody here in the U.S. Okay, wala akong kamag-anak sa U.S., wala akong kakilala. And then yung pupuntahan ko, I was in Washington, and I was supposed to go to Montana. That's another long ride. Okay, and layo pa. And so I just look at the, you know, and then all of a sudden I had this idea that I need to go to the telephone directory and look for a church. Okay, I just went through the thing and then look for a church. And I saw this one church. And, you know, I'm not going to say the name to you anymore. Okay? And then I look at the church, and then I called the church, and I said, "Hi, my name is Alfred, and I'm from the Philippines." Yeah, kailangan may twang, di ba? And then sabi nung guy, and the other said, at the end, sabi niya, "Yeah, my name is Pastor so-and-so. How can I help you?" I go, "Well, some were supposed to pick me up today, but they didn't show up. I don't know what happened." "Oh, don't worry. I'll be there in 30 minutes. Wow. 30 minutes later, this guy came, put me in a hotel, okay, and then told me, "You know, just freshen up, just rest for a while. Is it okay?" After he put me in a hotel, paid for my hotel accommodation, and said, "Is it okay, you know, for you to rest for a while, and then at about 7 o'clock, come to my church and speak?" I go, "Wow, this guy didn't even know me, okay, inviting me to speak to his church, okay?" And I did. And then the long story short, you know, that's just an amazing thing. The little things like that. Little things that God is asking us to do. He's not asking us to do something, you know, He's not asking us to break a prisoner free. Only He can do that, or yung prison break nung araw. You still remember prison break? Yeah. Ano yung magkapalin ng kapalin mo? Ah, sila, Scottfield. Di ba? Sila, di ba? So, hindi naman yung iniisip ni Lord. Sabi ni Lord lang, bisitahin mo lang. Hindi naman niya sinasabi, you know, when they're sick, to heal them. No, God is just saying, visit them. You can pray for them, right? And believe for healing, but Jesus is asking us nothing so difficult to do. This is what Jesus said. Then the king replied, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Little things that we did to the least of my brothers. Not the superstar, not the big names, but the least of my brothers. What did you say? "You did it for me." And then, the other group, okay, in this passage actually said the same thing and asked them, "Lord, when did we see you that?" And he replied, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do," say, "you did not do, for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Jesus is asking us. And on that final day, He will judge us according to what we've done for the poor and the needy. Let us watch this video. I just want to show you this video first before we move on to the next point. Little acts of kindness.
Tawag na, trabaho ng papa ko is namamasura everyday or tinatawag na scavenger. Tapos ang mama ko is housewife lang. Minsan, nagtatrabaho siya. Nag-serve siya sa church, volunteer, sa kitchen staff. Ang kinikita ng tatay ko, 150 a day, minsan jambahan 200 or 300 pag malakas yung kita. Pero pang pagkain lang po yun. Yung pagpasok sa school, pangungutang pa yung mga bawal ng kapatid ko. Tapos minsan pa yung papa ko, hindi nangangarito, hindi siya nanguha. Tapos, alcoholic po yung papa ko. Para nakakaya na, bakit yun yung pamilya namin? Napaka miserable. Pero yun, salamat dahil bata pa lang ako, nataliman na ako ng pananampalataya kay Lord. Na yung lumaki ako, trabaho ko na hindi nawala sa akin. Actually, dapat mawala yun. Kasi yung lugar namin Tondo, kung sinabing Tondo, delikado. Maraming drug addict. Mga kaibigan ko po, rugby boy, tapos sigarilyo, tapos tropa-tropa, fraternity, tapos minsan, mag-jami kayo, iba nag-rugby. Pag nasa Tondo ko, magiging ganito ka talaga. Pero salamat kay Lord dahil hindi ako naging ganun. Na naging malakas yung faith ko na, ano, na hindi nila ako nahawaan ng ganong addiction. Pangarap ko talagang makatapos ng pag-aaral sa college, makakuha ng kursong computer science. Pangarap ko rin po na matulungan yung parents ko, makawas sa kahirapan. Ako na po mag-gustos sa pag-aaral ng mga kapatid ko na wala pong kakayahan. Napaka-bless kong tao, may napili ako. Wala talagang kaya ng parents ko. Pag-aralin ako. Dapat maging lalaki ako, basurero. Pero hindi. Binigyan ako ng pangarap. Salamat kay Lord dahil hindi siya nagbago. Na tinupad niya yung pangako niya sa akin sa Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Salamat kay Lord dahil ngayon, nararamdaman ko na may plans sa akin. Na may future akong maganda na mararating. Tapos hindi ako mapapahamak. Napakasaya po. Kasi kung hindi po dahil kay Lord, at hindi po ako makakagraduate ng college.
You know the amazing thing about this guy? You just notice wala siyang ngipin, no? After we showed this video last week in some one of our centers, a dentist actually committed to give him dentures. Okay. Actually, not just him, but his parents as well. And not only that, Jefferson, when he graduates this year, will end up in a stable job. Because one of our businessmen actually is hiring him. Okay. Ganun, yun yung act of kindness. This is compassion. Okay, hindi ka naawa sa tao, but you're doing something about it. Okay. Let me go to my last point. Eternity is our motivation. Eternity is our motivation. When you look at helping others, when you're looking at the poor and the needy, you're not just looking at this need, this present need right now. What you're looking at is their eternal destiny. You're always looking at the purpose of God in their lives. Kaya nga, pagkat tinignan mo yung ginagawa ni Jesus, it's not just healing the sick. It's always talking about healing the person as a whole. Meron palaging salvation. This is what the verse says. Okay, then they will go away to eternal punishment, talking about the goat in that story, but the righteous to eternal life. Because that's the goal. The goal is not just to help people with their need today, but to always make sure that we help them with their very need, and that is the need of salvation. And this is what Galatians says to us. Do not get tired of helping others. You will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up. We should help people when? When? Can you please read that again? Whenever you can, especially if they are followers of the Lord. That is our cry. We need to help these people. Here's another quote. The bearers of Jesus' word receive a final word of promise for their work. They are now Christ's fellow workers and will be like Him in all things. Thus they are to meet those to whom they are sent as if they were Christ Himself. They are bearers of His presence. You see, we represent Christ to people. That is why we can say that we care. Jesus cares, and we also care. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 31 says, "He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God." That's what we want to do. We want to honor God. Victory exists to honor God and make disciples. And part of our calling is to also meet the need of the poor and the needy. Let me show you another statistics of what the nation is going through today. Okay, we will end with this one. Almost done. Out of 100 pupils, grade 1 pupils, out of 100, okay, only 66 finished grade 6. And out of the 66, only 58 go on to enroll in first year high school. Did you get it? Out of 100, 66, 58. Out of 58, okay, they get enrolled. And out of that 66, only 43 graduate high school. And of the 43 high school graduates, only 23 enroll in college. And out of the 23, only 14 will graduate college. The question we want to ask is, why is that? Well, when you think about it, the reason why they can't go to school is because they're in poverty. And the reason why they're in poverty is because they don't have education. And the reason why they don't have education is because they don't have money to send them to school. The reason why they don't have money to go to school is because they don't have jobs. The reason why they don't have jobs is because they don't have education. The reason why they don't have education is because they are poor. Because the reason why they are poor is because they don't have education. The reason why they don't have education is because they don't have money to send their children to school. It's a vicious cycle. And Jesus is asking us to do something. This is something that we need to do. That is why we have what we call the real life. Real life foundation is what we gave you, okay? Let me just read this to you first. Whatever we do for the poor and the needy, we are doing it for Christ. And I want you to look at your bookmarks. Okay, I have a bookmark here somewhere. It's hidden. I don't know where it is. Oh, let me. Okay. Helping others never goes out of style. Because whatever we do, we're doing it for Christ. You know, let me just share with you one last story. See, Real Life Foundation is something that we do because we want to help the underprivileged kids like Jefferson. And another person that I want to talk to you about is this guy, Ramchard Kaitor. Ramchard Kaitor was born in Agusan del Sur. Okay. Let me read this story to you. He's the youngest of the 6 siblings. None of his 5 siblings were able to finish high school. His father was a farmer struggling to support his family. Okay? At this time, yung nung nandoon siya sa kanila, sa Agusan, ang only dream ni Ram was to become a tricycle driver. Kasi hirap na hirap siyang magsaka. Ang hirap ng buhay na magsasaka, sabi niya, hindi ko gusto yung ginagawa ng tatay ko. Kaya gusto niya, makapunta niya sa Maynila, makabili siya ng tricycle, at maging tricycle driver siya. Yun lang ang dream niya. But then, when he went to Manila, bago siya pumunta ng Manila, binigyan siya ng tatay niya kasi gusto talaga niya mag-aral eh. Yung tatay niya, binenta yung pig. Yung pig nila, okay? Worth 2,000 pesos. Binigay sa kanya ng tatay niya yung pera, sabi ng tatay niya sa kanya, Ram, ito yung 2,000 pesos, pumunta ka ng Maynila, sundan mo yung pangarap mo. Dahil hindi ka namin kaya pag-aralin ng nanay tatay mo. So he went to Manila with 2,000 pesos. Imagine at the age of 16. How many 16 years old do we have here? Imagine mo, 16 ka, tapos pupunta ka sa ibang lugar. Dala mo 2,000 pesos to follow your dream. That doesn't look really nice, doesn't it? Pero you know what he ended up with? He ended up becoming a construction worker. Tapos nahirapan siya, sabi niya, hindi ko kaya ito. So nakapasok siya sa Jollibee. Pumasok siya sa Jollibee, malapit sa Fort Bonifacio, at naging scholar siya ng Jollibee. Pero naging problema niya, antok na antok siya pag pumapasok siya kasi nagtatrabaho siya buong gabi. Pagpapasok siya sa eskwelahan, inaantok siya, nakakatulog siya. Tapos, nagkasakit pa siya. Actually, nung nag-aaral siya, binubuli siya ng mga classmates niya kasi madalas wala siyang baon. Ang ginagawa niya, pupunta siya sa CR ng Market, doon siya kakain. Kasi minsan ulam niya, tuyo eh. Minsan ang pagkain niya, kanin lang. And he was bullied. And then, while this is happening, okay, nagkaroon siya ng sakit. Nagkaroon siya ng bukol dito sa gilid. Lumaki. And he was getting discouraged. He got nawala siya ng trabaho dahil may sakit siya eh. And then a friend of him invited him to attend Victory Fort, the youth service. And doon nakilala niya si Lord. At tapos nalaman nga may sakit siya. Sinabihan siya ng kaibigan niya, "You know, why don't we ask the church to help you?" Kasi nagpa-check up siya, you know how much it will cost to get that lump out? Yung cyst niya, it will cost him 90,000 pesos. So sinabihan siya ng leader niya, "Why don't we ask the church to help you?" Sabi niya, "Hindi. You know, this guy is amazing." Sabi ni Ram, "If Jesus came to die for me, he can surely heal this lamb." So nag-attend siya nung EN 2011, yung dun sa SMX. 2010? 20, when yun? 2010, no? And on the second day, the Lord healed him miraculously. Baka gusto niyo naman palakpakan si Lord. Okay? And because of that, this friend was able to ask, you know, invite him again to enroll and apply for real life. Kasi sa real life, hindi ka pwede mag-apply pag may sakit ka. Kasi gusto nila, nag-graduate ka. So, nung na-healed na siya, nag-apply siya sa real life. And I want to show you this video before we end to tell you the rest of the story.
When I was very young, I grew up na isang kahig isang tuka. Hindi kami kayang pag-aralin ng parents namin lahat sa college. Mag-isa lang ako doon sa room. Sabi ko, Lord, ikaw na bahala. Kasi the future is not just blur, but it's really nothing. Parang I can't see anything.
Bunso po ako sa anim na magkakapatid. Tapos lumaki po akong Mindanao. Yung hanap buhay po namin ay pagsasaka. May nagpahiram po sa amin ng lupa sa mga magulang ko. Tapos doon po kami nag-aaral. Tapos yun po yung kinabuhay namin. Hanggang sa lumalapit ako ng high school, 9 a.m. tinulungan ko yung taray ko sa pag-aaral. Tapos sabi niya, meron siyang baboy. Tapos ibenta niya, ibigay niya sa akin yung pera na 2,000. Tapos punta ako Maynila, kung may pangarap mo na ako sa buhay, kung gusto ko makapagtapos ng pag-aaral, sarili ko ng sikap. Kasi sila hindi na kayang ibigay yung gusto ko na makapagtapos.
Nung time na yun, hindi ko nga akalain na may future talaga after high school na inalat ni God and God used real life.
Hanggang sa nag-apply ako sa real life, doon na nag-start na yung training na binibigyan nila sa akin, yung naramdaman ko yung love ng family. Kasi doon ko nakita na may mga tao pala silang tumutulungan na kagaya ko.
During that time, yun nga, I help my father at the same time. I, sa family household, at the same time, yung kapatid ko yan. The goal is really, of real life, is really, to change yung alleviate really the poverty, di ba? From if you're part of the 80%, you're not anymore part of it.
Amen.
Diba? And so, family is the first hand who will benefit really.
Yung tulong ng real life, sobrang laki kasi sila yung talagang naging tulay para maabot ko yung mga pangarap ko, para matulungan yung family ko. Yung mga training talaga yung pinaka-importante sa akin. Binago nila yung perspective ko, lumaki yung pangarap ko, lumaki yung pananaw ko. At alam kong hindi lang matatapos sa akin yung istorya, kundi yung sa mga taong tutulungan.
Since 2007, Real Life Foundation has been empowering the dreams of scholars like Ram and Raquel. With your help, more than 200 Real Life scholars have graduated from university and are now helping lift their families out of poverty. Our scholars are mentored in leadership, integrity, faith, and excellence because our goal is to produce young men and women of character who will bless their families and change this nation. On behalf of our scholars, thank you for giving to life.
Again, if you want to know more about Real Life Foundation, yung pong bookmark na nandyan, you can actually visit their website. Again, that before we end, I just want us to understand that whatever we do for the poor and the needy, we're doing it for Christ. And whatever the Lord is doing in your heart today, I pray that you would respond to Him. I pray that you will not just be moved emotionally, but you will be moved into action. Because that's what the Lord requires of us. That's what the Lord expects of us. Because He cares. We can also care for people. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you today. Thank you that you are here in our midst. Lord, thank you that you've exemplified to us what it is to identify with the poor and the needy. And what it is, Lord God, not just to see their need, but also to do something about that need. And Lord, I pray that as we depart from this place today, I ask, Lord God, that you would allow us to understand that you want us to be an extension of yourself to other people in our community, in our families, in our school, in our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.